Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians, please. I can't get this off of my heart and mind. I began this message on Sunday night, and I want to come back to it tonight, God willing. And I don't know if we'll get finished or not, but I'd like to come back and see what the Lord might help us with tonight. I do appreciate you being here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number, for the sake of time, I'm going to start reading in verse number 4. Verse number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all of our tribulation. I want to make mention of this text, but if I get to the last part of the message tonight, I want you to remember this. The Word of God said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that's not always easy. But I believe Paul learned, I don't believe Paul just preached it. I believe he learned it. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, he was in a bad state. How many understands that? As far as this world and his flesh, most of his ministry, which God called him, when God called him to the Gentile, he told him, you're going to suffer. And you know what? He did suffer. But he said, I'm exceeding joyful. And another verse of scripture, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 or 2 there, where Paul said, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul didn't have the luxury of ministering without trouble. He had to learn how to minister in trouble. That's where the Word of God said he was troubled on every side. Look at it here. The Bible said now, he said, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. And I don't know about you tonight, but I think rest is something we take for granted. You lose a night's sleep or two because you're troubled or because you're sick or because, this is even worse, somebody you love is sick. Say amen. And Paul, when he went down through the list of things that he was going through, I want you to remember this. He said, besides all this, the care of all the churches. I mean, Brother Steve, if he were in Kingsport, it wouldn't just be Bible Way that he was burdened about, but all the Bible-believing churches in Kingsport, I mean, he'd be carrying them in his heart and burdened for them. And so he said, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. That's where the message comes from. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Let's pray just a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you'd make it real to us tonight. Help us and encourage us tonight. Help us, our Lord, to exhort your people. God, I pray you'd encourage our hearts together. Lord, many are suffering. Many are going through trying times. Many, Lord, of our people, their world has been turned upside down by the trials, by the trouble that's on every side. But, oh, God, it ain't going to be long, Lord. We're going to a place where no trouble will ever be. We're going to a place, our Lord, where our flesh will not go. Lord, the songwriter said, and I love the line, this robe of flesh will drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour prayer. Lord, we're headed to, Lord, home. Lord, where the throne of God and the God of heaven dwells forever. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. And amen. Now, I'm not going to reiterate Sunday night's message, but there are some that are here tonight that weren't able to be here on Sunday night. And the message just has three simple points in it. Troubled on every side. The first message Sunday night a week ago was trouble on every side, but treasure on the inside. And then when I looked at this text, I just began reading. I just kept on reading a day or two after that, over in the book of Corinthians, I ran across this phrase again, troubled on every side. And what God has shown me in this text is Paul understands that not only is there treasure on the inside, the Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But the Apostle Paul quickly realizes in this text, in the surrounding text, that there's not only treasure on the inside, but there's treasure all around. Right around where the trouble is, there's also treasure. And on Sunday night, we tried to magnify the faithful that are around us. You can look at your wife, and you ought to be looking at a treasure. You can look at your children, and you ought to be looking at a treasure. You can be looking at one another as children of God, and we ought to be looking at a treasure. I feel sorry for a pastor that can't look at his people and see a treasure, amen, that God has given him to minister to and carry in his heart. And I thought about this today, you know, there were evangelists and there were pastors and there were teachers, and all of that is a gift from the God of heaven to the church that's here in the world, amen. And we ought to view that as a treasure. I mean, I'm looking forward to homecoming. You say, Pastor, how come? I'll be honest with you. You can look at me and tell that I love to eat. But that's not the major attraction for homecoming. I'm telling you, sitting in our midst tonight is a treasure, is a man of God that we'll get to gather around and hear him break this precious book open, the bread of life. Amen. You say, Pastor, have you lost your mind? No, and Paul hadn't lost his either. When he saw Titus coming, he wasn't just looking at a man. That was a treasure in his heart. Amen. And Titus, we said on Sunday night, his presence made a difference. His message made a difference. And his heart made a difference in the life of Paul. Then Titus carries the news that the Corinthian people, see, Paul loved them. Amen. He had to scold them. He had to set them right on some things. And it was a great comfort to him to find out that though he had to scold them, they loved him. Amen. And they were reacting in a positive way to his ministry. Now tonight, we looked at the treasure Sunday night of the faithful around us. I'd like to look tonight at the treasure of the Father that's above us. You say, Pastor, that's a simple thought. I know. How many times do we forget? Amen. They got little catchphrases, you know, God's got this. But I want you to know this tonight. When you got saved by the grace of God, beloved, God became your heavenly Father. I used to tell him in the prison, when God saved me, I traded daddies. The Bible said in one place, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. There came a day in my life, I got tired of that old daddy. He lied to me, amen. He would tell you, this is good, and this is fun, and this is what you need. And thank God I've got a father in heaven now that's never lied to me, that's never led me in the wrong direction, amen, that loves me tonight. He said, Pastor, where do you see that in the text? Well, the Bible said in verse number 14 of chapter number 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, watch this, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the word of God said, wherefore come out from among them and be a separate people. That's preaching you don't hear much anymore, amen. It used to be common to go in a church and hear separation preached, amen. That we ought to walk different, talk different, and look different, amen, than this world. But it's not talked about much anymore. Paul said, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Look at verse 18. And I will be a father unto you. Glory to God, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You say, Pastor, there's a Father above us. That's a treasure tonight to know that God is our Heavenly Father. Amen. Three things I wrote down here. Number one, He promoted us. He made us His children. He picked us up out of the muck. out of the mire. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. He gave us life. Hallelujah. He put us on a solid rock. He put a new song, Brother Craig, you preached about in our heart. The chorus the man of God talked about on Sunday. Amen. Listen, we can't all get it out of our voice box just right, but every child of God's got a song in his heart. Amen. Of praise unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has promoted us. He received us as his children. And beloved, that's a blessing tonight. But not only that, he promised us. You say, Pastor, where are you looking at that? Look at chapter 7, verse number 1. I'm talking about a father that's a treasure tonight. I will tell you this tonight. If your father's still living down here, you better see a treasure. One day he'll be gone. Don't wait till he's gone to see a treasure, amen, that you have it. Listen, I've said for years, I've been blessed with two wonderful fathers, a heavenly father and an earthly father that loved me, amen, and helped me along life's way. The Bible said in chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises. Oh, you say, Pastor, what do you mean, having therefore? When you see the word therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. We just now told you, beloved, that God has said, I'll receive you. Come out from among them. I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you. Amen. I thought about those children in the orphanage over there in Africa. Now, some of them never known what it is to have a good father. Amen. And some of them had a father, so to speak, a father figure, but they weren't a father to them. Amen. And the Word of God's teaching us here that we have these promises. You say, Pastor, what about his promises in his Word? Watch now. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I think it's important tonight when we see the faithful around us to see the Father that's above us, amen, and to understand and realize tonight that that is a treasure in this world that we live in. You say, Pastor, what's his promises got to do with anything? Beloved, there's no hope of being cleansed without his promise. Aren't you glad he said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You remember Peter said, Lord, if you're going to wash me all over. Jesus said, you have not need to be washed all over. But I tell you what, old Peter's feet got dirty and yours get dirty and mine get dirty. But thank God for the cleansing agent of the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And God has promised his children these promises. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh. And beloved, the Spirit perfected holiness in the fear of God. I don't know about you tonight, but when I think about that Father above me, I thank God tonight. He knows. Listen, you can't hide anything from him. He knows, amen. He knows tonight. He knows what we need even before we ask. And I thank God that he does. Turn to 2 Peter for just a moment. I'm talking now about these promises, and you could go on and preach there till Jesus comes about the promises of God. But I just want to share this with you tonight. 2 Peter chapter number 1, we're talking about a Father that's above us. He's promoted us. He's promised us. Look at verse number 3 of 2 Peter chapter number 1. And by the way, beloved, the second epistles were written to address apostasy. And if we've ever lived in a generation where men and women are turning away from the truth of the Word of God, it's not that they're ignorant of the Word of God. Beloved, there can't be that many people in America that's ignorant of the Word of God. They look at it, they don't like it, and they turn their back on it and go away from it. That's what apostasy is. That's why you've got homosexuals standing in pulpits in America. That's why in some places it don't matter if you ordain a woman to be a deacon or you ordain a woman to be a preacher. Sad man. That's why even in the Baptist church many women are running the house. It's because the Word of God no longer matters. Amen. Sometimes the children are running the house. Neither one of them's wrong. Christ is to be the head of the man and the man is to be the head of the house. And when it's not that way, it's out of order. When we've got these promises, watch what he said in verse number 3 of 2 Peter chapter number 1. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not one of us is going to stand before God and say, oh God, if I'd just had this, I'd have lived for you. If I'd have just had this, I would have lived a holy life. I would have lived a separated life. No, sir. I tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, God said His divine power lives in you, and He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that through the knowledge of Him, watch this now, this keeps coming out. Brother Craig, I'm not even preaching tonight unto Him be glory in the church, amen. But watch what the Word of God said. The knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You just can't get away from it, amen. The preacher on Sunday morning, I thank God. Listen, God wants your life and my life to bring glory to Him. The preacher said something Sunday morning, and I tell you, I don't think I'll ever forget it. He said, we're supposed to be giving God glory. And he said, there's times in our life when we mar God's glory. Now you think about that for just a minute. Maybe you can't get a hold of that, but I can. Help me tonight. Say amen. Amen. If you're cut out of the same flesh I am, beloved, listen. Let me just give you a little secret. This flesh wants nothing to do with God giving glory. Giving God glory. This flesh just wants you to look at the flesh. Amen. But I tell you, in the Spirit of God and in the power of God and with the promises of God, we can give Him glory. Tonight, look at verse 4. Whereby are giving to us exceeding great and precious promises. Ain't that good? Amen. Look what the Bible said. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then he said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. I tell you, a lot of people get saved and they think that's it. No. That's just the beginning. Say amen. That's not the end. That's just the beginning. We get saved, and he says, add to your faith, virtue into virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance and temperance, patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. I'm going somewhere. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. You say, Pastor, what's happened to a lot of people through COVID? What's happened to a lot of people? Brother Steve has mentioned it over and over, that used to be in that youth group and used to be faithful and used to serve God. People that Brother Steve's got on his heart, I can tell his heart breaks, because he'd love to see them back in the house of God, back faithful doing. What's happened to families? What's happened to teenagers? What's happened to mamas and daddies? Watch what the Bible said. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now listen to me carefully. The Apostle Paul said this, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, we press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's true. Listen to me carefully. But I'll tell you what we better not forget. We better not forget where we were when he found us. We better not forget. You say, Pastor, you've got Bible for that? Read the sermons of the Apostle Paul. He'd go back and say, whoa, let me tell you what happened on the Damascus Road. I was going down there to arrest some people. You say, Pastor, what's going on? There's a treasure above him in his heavenly Father. Amen. There's treasure all around him. He's troubled on every side, but he's going to make it, because he's concentrating on the treasure. He's going to mention the trouble. He's going to let us know about the trouble. But thank God he has a treasure, a treasure. He promised us in his word, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off. You know what happened? Somebody forgot to add. They forgot to add to their faith, virtue. They forgot to add to that virtue, knowledge. They forgot to add to that knowledge, temperance. Say amen. And I tell you what, if we're not careful, we'll fall in the same trap. We better get in the adding business. Amen. We better realize, the song said, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I say this from the bottom of my heart. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Hallelujah. We have a Father above us. Not only is he promoted us, and has he promised us through his word, he's promoted us that we could be his children. He's promised us through his word But I want to give you this, and I won't say much about this, but it's exciting. He's perfecting us. You see, that's where predestination in the Word of God, the doctrine of predestination, has nothing to do with a sinner. It has everything to do with the child of God. When a person is truly born again of the Spirit of God and picked up out of that muck and picked up out of that mire, picked up from a place of being dead and trespassing sin, and God gives that individual life, God is determined that one day that individual is going to be just like Jesus. Amen. You say, Pastor, you believe that? Watch what the Bible said. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let me wrap it up for you in one verse. One verse. Here it comes. Every once in a while I stutter in my mind. Being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, how come he's going to quit on the day of Jesus Christ? Glory, because it's done. We'll be perfect. He's going to perfect his children. Ain't that good? Amen. So we see the faithful around us. Yes, we're troubled on every side, but we've got a treasure on every side. This last thing is going to blow your mind. We've got a Father above us. But you say, Pastor, what's the last thing you've got on your mind? I'm going to try to finish this in the next 5 minutes or so. This is going to blow your mind, what God is going to say to us right here, I believe, as far as counting it as a treasure. And I think this is where our problem is. We don't count it as a treasure. And that is the foe that's against us. How many would rather just go through the week without dealing with him? How many would rather go through the week without dealing with the flesh, without dealing with the world, and without dealing with the devil? Now, if I had my way, but I'm going to tell you something that will help you tonight. I believe it helped the Apostle Paul. Beloved, listen. What did the Bible say? He had this thorn. He came to the Lord, and he besought the Lord. And I heard a preacher say, I don't know who it was, not long ago. It wasn't some little prayer. I believe, buddy, he poured his heart out to God. Oh, God, oh, God. I don't know what it was. My pastor had an idea that I was saved under, Brother Wishon. He believed that the thorn in the flesh was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. That every time Paul stood up after he was caught up into the third heaven, he saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. Every time Paul stood up to preach, this is what my pastor believed, Brother Don. He believed Satan was just gouging him. Tell it. Tell it. Because God told him not to tell it. Because if he told it, they would exalt him above measure. Amen. And listen, we're not to be exalted. Christ is to be exalted. And I'll tell you something right now. I believe Paul would say amen. I'd rather not have seen it as to see it and not be able to come tell you what I've seen. Say amen. I don't know what the thorn in the flesh is. That's not what's important. What's important is this. Is God said, ain't going to take it. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, for when I am weak, is this right or is this wrong? Well, let me ask you something. The Bible said to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Are we going to be able to do that without the foe? Answer me. Are we going to be able to do that without the trouble on every side, without the trials? I doubt it. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, the brother brought it out on Sunday. Beloved, it's in that trying time. That's where, beloved, listen, we really have an opportunity to shine for the glory of God. The Bible said over here in chapter number 6, in verse number 5, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful. Watch this. Yet, see, Paul didn't just write to the church at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He said, oh yes, we're sorrowful, yet rejoicing. See it? Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, Paul learned Listen, what he learned by not seeing that, beloved. Listen, I believe it all boils down to this. You go back and study the life of Joseph. What did Joseph say? If we could just learn this. He got down to the end there. His daddy died. The brethren were convinced that he was going to get even, that he was going to take out vengeance on them. He said, listen, I'm paraphrasing now. Boys, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. He saw a bigger picture. I'm afraid that you and I'm not fussing at you tonight or preaching at you tonight. We're human. I'm afraid, beloved, when the trouble comes on every side, you and I see the trouble and we don't see the treasure in the trouble. God's not trying to destroy us. He's trying to develop us. Amen. The Bible didn't say, take up your crown and follow me. Am I right or am I wrong? Jesus said, he that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We're living in a generation, you know it's true. You've got this feel-good religion, this feel-good teaching, this feel-good preaching, amen, and you'll feel good. And you're not only going to feel good, you're going to drive the best, you're going to live in the best, you're going to wear the best, you're going to have the best bank account and all of that. I'm telling you, that's a bunch of garbage out of hell. Read your Bible! God said there's trouble on every side. But always remember, there's treasure on the inside. But there's treasure that's not on the inside. There's treasure sprinkled among the trouble all the way around us. May God help us to open our eyes and understand. Listen, I know this. God saved me in February 1987. February 22nd, 1987, God saved me. Nothing. Not one thing has come into my life that didn't run across his desk first. You say, where'd you get that book of Job, chapter number 1? Amen. You say, Pastor, if it went across his desk, then what we'll shout. Because he's not trying to hurt me. He's trying to help me. Amen. He's not trying to destroy me. He's trying to develop me. And I think a whole lot of it is attitude towards the foe. You say, Pastor, you welcome the trouble? I wish I could get around it. I'm just being honest. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me ask you something. You believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego loved God before the furnace? Does anybody believe he loved him a little more? Yes, man. You believe Daniel loved God before the den of lions? I do. He turned his face. He opened that window toward Jerusalem. Prayed 3 times a day, just like he always did, a 4th time. The Word of God said. And I'm going to tell you, after that night with the lions, I just believe he told everybody he could tell. Amen. I can't think about Daniel in the den of lions without thinking about Brother Mays and what he said years ago. He said, I believe old Daniel said, come here, Leo. I need a pillar. Amen. He rested in the Lord. Amen. He didn't get the rest from the trouble. He rested in the trouble. When the Bible said in everything give thanks, I don't know about you, that's not easy to do. You know, Brother Craig, when you got the call that the baby was going to have to be took back, well, we don't just jump up and say, well, praise God. Amen. No. But I tell you what we can do. We can understand that there's a treasure in the midst of the trouble. Doesn't matter what the trouble is, amen, there's a treasure. We see, I want to ask you a question. All of this that I just read to you, and I'm not going to go there, there's another place where Paul lists, he's shipwrecked, perils of countrymen, perils among false brethren, 40 times was I beaten, I think, with 39 stripes. I'm not getting that just right. But they beat him. They left him outside the city for dead. Paul will tell you over and over what he went through. Let me ask you this. Did you ever read where any of that was going on before he got saved? I believe Paul had a pretty good life before he got saved as far as here. How many would rather have some trouble in heaven as no trouble and end up in hell? Listen, we're God's children. We've got a treasure around us. I can see the treasure in the church. I can see the treasure in my Heavenly Father. I can see the treasure in my family. But I can also see the treasure in the foe. Because, beloved, all them that live godly, that the word all means all, in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Everybody ain't going to like it, amen. That's one of the things that concerns me about Brother Keith and his wife. I'm telling you, beloved, we have an enemy that's very real. And we need to be lifting them up in prayer, not just them, all of our missionaries. Because, beloved, listen, the enemy don't like it. The enemy, we come in here Sunday morning, and there was a little over $2,000 in the offering for the kids in Africa. Took out the buckets, went around, there's a little over $3,000. At the end of the service, I said, some of y'all just met Brother Keith because he didn't come to Sunday school, you know what I mean? Some of you just met him. Some of you were just exposed to the work. You might want to give something to this work. And now it's over $4,300. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? You think the enemy's going to sit still while the little youngins in the orphanage is hearing about Jesus, while wells are being drilled, while churches are being built? Amen. While John Romans is being printed and given out everywhere. Oh, no. The enemy's not going to sit still. But we need to understand, among all that trouble is a treasure. How many's glad you come tonight? Don't ever forget that, okay? Don't matter where you're at. Don't forget it. Don't matter what you're going through. Don't forget it. Just look up. I've got a Heavenly Father. What a treasure. Look at your family. I mentioned that Sunday night just being on a trail in the woods behind Bob and Charity and Sawyer and Olivia. And I tell you, I did not bow, but I did worship. I did. It was just out there in front of me, thanking God for my family. Amen. Amen. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer tonight.